Good morning, everyone. Please pray that my voice holds out. I'm getting over something that our grandchildren brought to us from New York. But we had a good time, and they're still here today with us. In 1975, there was 75 inmates in the Mexican prison who came up with a plan to escape by tunneling under the prison wall. For 5 months, they carefully carried out their scheme, but apparently they were a bit misdirected. After all that work, they broke through the surface and on their way to freedom, unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, as your perspective, they found themselves in the middle of the courtroom that sent several of them to prison. Life can be full of surprises, can't it? Some surprises are good, some are not so good. And that is the question I want to bring to our attention today. It is the question that Peter asked the crowd around them. But before I get to the question, I want to set it up a bit for you, what was taking place just prior to our reading that we heard in Acts. Because the question obviously follows something. Just prior to where our reading picks up, Peter and John were on their way to the temple. There was a beggar, a lame beggar, who had been lame since birth, who was placed at the gate. And the beggar got their attention in hopes of getting something from them, a coin or two. And they walk up to him. The first thing that they say to him is, "Look at us." They don't want him to be distracted. They want his full attention. And then Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This man was going to have a life-changing experience. And we know what happened. He was healed, and he was overjoyed with what he had received. He's been crippled since birth, and who knows how long he's been carried to this gate. Every day, he is now healed. We're told that he has ran off leaping and crying out to the Lord in the courtyard, praising God for what has happened to him. So now the attention shifts to the people. Scripture tells us that they were utterly astounded, filled with wonder. Once again, they are seeing something so marvelous that it's happening right in their presence. Once again, they are witnessing something so amazing, so out of the ordinary of what they would expect on the streets with this beggar. They've seen and heard about all this before, but this time it's different. They would have probably expected this from Jesus, the miracle worker. But he is gone. So they had to be thinking along the lines, who are these guys? They're just everyday fishermen. No one would expect this from them. This is Peter and John. So while all these people are now standing with their jaws dropped, you hear this, you could probably know that the murmuring begins to happen around in the crowd. So Peter and John ask the question, "What?" That's my version. "What? What's so surprising to you? Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why are you so surprised? If it is through Jesus Christ that this man has been healed." Over the next several verses, Peter, this common fisherman, begins to reveal the truth of the gospel. He unfolds the story of what has happened. He reveals the truth that the prophets brought forth, that the one they foretold about was indeed Jesus. He is the Messiah. He told them of repentance and turning from their evil ways. They are doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Go out and be my witnesses. And we are told that the number of believers that came through this event was about 5,000 men. You see, Peter and John are carrying out a mandate given to them. Listen again to what we read. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. They've been anointed by the Spirit of God for ministry. They have been gifted. They now know fully the call that Jesus has put on them. How exciting it must have been for them to actually step out in faith and do what Jesus said to do. Especially when Peter went through that issue of denying Jesus during the trial. But we also see something else taking place. Opposition. You see, the leaders are so surprised as well. They thought all of this Jesus stuff has gone away. Little did they know that it was all just beginning. They have questions of their own, like, by what power have you done this? On whose authority did you heal the crippled beggar? Actually, they're jealous. You see, when Jesus the Messiah came, he didn't come and then just leave the scene. He came for a reason. That reason is that all nations might come to know him. That reason was so that all might know the one true God and come to him in the way that was offered to them through Jesus Christ. You see, you can kill the human body, but you can't kill the Holy Spirit. No matter how hard people try to push God out of their lives and deny him altogether, God is still God. He is going to reveal himself just like he said he would. So the leaders thought that their troubles with Jesus was in the grave. Now they come to see these signs and wonders. And their question is, who are you? And Peter, without question, filled with the Holy Spirit, remembers those reassuring words that Jesus said, I will be with you always. He also said, when you are brought before those who persecute you, I will give you the answer. So Peter lays it out for them. It is by the one you crucified that we did this. It is by the one who's now raised from the dead that we did this. It is by the one whom salvation has been given that we do this. It is by the one who poured out his Spirit on all who receive him that we do this. It is the name of Jesus Christ that we do this. In a way, it's like saying to the Sanhedrin, why are you surprised? Why are you so surprised? You're the theologians. You should know this. You see, when God gives a promise, it will be carried out. He keeps it. When he says he will be with them, he will. Now the crowds are getting excited. God is moving in their midst, and they're singing praises to God. And people are now able to experience Christ in a whole new way. Fishermen can't do that. The only thing the Sanhedrin can come up with is a brilliant plan of don't ever speak of Jesus again. Well, yeah, right. That's just not going to happen. How can it? Peter says, let me ask you this. Is it better to obey God or obey you? You see, gentlemen of the Sanhedrin, we cannot deny what we know to be true. We cannot forget about what we have learned and what we have seen and what has been given to us by God. We will continue to speak and talk about what we know to be true and what we have experienced in Jesus Christ. All odds were against Peter and John. Here are two guys with no worldly authority standing before the highest Jewish authority. But because of the evidence, because of the public pressure, they have no choice but to let them go. And that turned the apostles loose to preach even more. And just as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, now I send you. They have acted on the promise. And they were empowered. That empowerment continues today. We serve a mighty God who has empowered his church to do ministry. The church is the body of Christ, to teach, to preach, to heal, to pray, to spread the good news, to be examples to others, to help those in need, to worship, to care for one another, to be empowered by His presence for any task that He has given you. None of us should be surprised when God moves in our midst through the working of His Spirit. Every one of us has the ability to be used by God under the same promised Spirit that anointed Peter and John. But what happens to many people in our society is that they tend to hide who they are in Christ. For whatever reason, most of the time it's out of fear of rejection. So they subdue what God really wants to do through them. But what I have personally found is that most people are actually thrilled when God does move through us. I think for the most part, people are hungry for God to become real to them. Just like the people out in that street when they heard Peter and John. Just like that beggar who was expecting only a coin but got something so much more. Peter, John, and the others took what was given to them. They had the training to give, they had this training given to them, but initially they also had the fear. But when the anointing of God's Spirit fell on them, they had so much more. They had the confidence they needed. They had the boldness that they needed. All they had to do is proclaim it. Because you see, it wasn't just them doing what they did. They couldn't do that to the crippled beggar by themselves. It was putting their faith into action and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them. It was simply doing what they were told to do. As parents, when we raise our children, we train them the best we can for life, and we say, we will always be there for you. And we try to do that as hardest as we can, for the most part. God did so much more. John, in his epistle, reminded us when he wrote his gospel writing, by our faith in Christ, we become children of God. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing this part very much. They think everyone on the planet is a child of God. We are certainly made in the image of God, as Scripture tells us. But Scripture also tells us we have been given the right to become children of God, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus also promised, I will not leave you as orphans. You will be not left alone. I will always be with you. What a privilege Jesus has given to all of us who call on His name. Peter and John knew what they had. It was something they never had before. The Spirit of God was given to them. They had new hope, new life, a new beginning. And He continues to offer that to all of us. We too can walk in that confidence. We too can have that faith. We too can know our God, that our God to a measure that is beyond measure. Knowing that He will work in and through each of us. I want to close with this question. What is it that you expect? What do you expect God to do through you? I can't tell you how many times I've heard words like, well, God is too busy for me. Or, I could never be used like that. Why do we shortchange what God can and wants to do through every one of us? He wants to use us. He is here. And it shouldn't surprise us when He does move in our midst. We have to remember that the book of Acts isn't over. It was only the beginning when it was written. What we read in Acts is about the beginning of the church, that is, the body of Christ. This book will never end until Christ returns. The body of Christ is still working, still producing, still empowering, still bringing hope, still bringing healing to the body and mind, still encouraging, still leading, still telling of the good news, still bringing and declaring truth still preaching, still teaching. We are still doing all of that through the power of His life-giving Spirit. Family of God, that should not surprise us. Jesus gave us a mandate. Go, do as I have done. Go and do as I will tell you to do. And that is what we should expect. Nothing less. God has so much for all of us. Allow Him to work through you in mighty, mighty ways. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Spirit that You have given us. We thank You so much that You have called us as a body to do something for You in the world around us. That You are always there with us. We don't need to be afraid, Lord God, when You call us to go pray with somebody, to speak to somebody that is on our heart that You have placed there. So, Father, I ask that You would give us each a heart that is yearning for all that You want us to do. Father, move by Your Spirit in each and every one of us as we walk out of this place today. And we give it all to You, Father. We give You the honor. We give You the glory for what You will do and continue to do as we call on Your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.